Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 269, part 2, the conclusion to peace. Today is Sunday, December 2nd, 2012.
There must be some way out of here. Said the joker to the thief, there's too much confusion, I can't get no relief. Businessmen, they drink my wine, plowmen dig my earth, none of them along the line know what any of it is worth. The thief he kindly spoke, there are many here among us who feel that life is but a joke. But you and I, we've been through that, and this is not our fate. So let us not talk falsely now, the hour is getting late. Tower, princes kept the view, while all the women came and went, barefoot servants too. Outside in the distance, a wild cat did growl. Two riders were approaching, the wind began to howl.
They're treating me this way. I didn't do nothing to them. That's the way they are. People are mean. They're sinners, saved by grace. Did you know that? People, a lot of times, are meaner than hell itself. That's the way we are. That's why we need the grace of God. That's why we all need mercy. Oh, I'm not that way. I'm not mean. Give anyone an opportunity. They can be that way. Say amen, somebody. You ever seen that show, The Raging Bull? Have you? How have you ever seen that show? A Raging Bull. About a boxer? Well, anybody sitting in here tonight, any of you listening on the radio, but for the grace of God, you could be that Raging Bull. Whew. Now, sometimes the song says, it kind of makes me want to tremble. What I think of what I could be without the Lord, when I don't depend on the Lord, what I am, sometimes it kind of makes me want to tremble. And it goes on, tremble, tremble, tremble. So firstly, I think we know what the Lord will speak. And secondly, the word of warning, let them not turn again to folly. So first, let's consider what we know the Lord will speak. We know this. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace. God is not a God of confusion. He will speak peace. He said, blessed is the peacemaker. He is the God of all peace. Wherever there's turmoil, wherever there's a lot of sarcasm and fighting in ministries and so on like that, some of the things that we're seeing on TV right now, they're not bringing peace to some of the brothers. Now, I don't care what they've done. Really, you on the radio, do you care what these people have done? Is it any of your business? Is it because it embarrasses you? Is it because when you go to work, someone might a charge on you? You might have to stick up for a brother? I don't know how many people came to me when Oral Roberts was in his prayer tower praying. And he says, what's Oral doing now? Is he still up there in the prayer tower? I said, I hope so. And I hope he's praying for me. See, people want to disassociate themselves, anything that's having a little bit of a problem. Huh? They don't want to get into where there's a little bit of suffering, where there's a little bit of pain. Well, even in exercising, they say, no pain, no gain. Isn't that right? You want to build the body beautiful? It takes pain. It takes these exercises or training for boxing like years ago I was into. You want to be good at it, brothers and sisters, it takes a little bit of pain. I will hear what God, the Lord, will speak, for He will speak peace. What's He saying right now? Peace, Church of Christ, peace. I didn't come here for war. I came for peace. And so first He speaks peace to a certain company, to His saints, to His people. And so we must do our part and open up our ears. Are we deaf? God is speaking peace, and we're warring on one another. See, God can't speak sweet words to those who turn a deaf ear. He that will not hear the gospel of peace shall never know the gospel of peace. And if you will not hear the Holy Spirit when He warns you of sin, neither shall you hear Him, no way, revealing His peace through pardon. If you will not hear the Lord when He proposes to you a reconciliation, you out there that aren't born again, reconciliation through the sacrifice of His dear Son, if you will not hear Him and repent and believe, if you will not be washed by the blood of the Lamb, listen, there's only one covenant of peace, and there can be no other. God gives us peace. God gives us the God of all peace, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, God, how we need to get back to the basics. How we need to get back. How we need to say right on TV, and all of this sham that's going on, all these brothers come together, every one of them, and say, peace. How they need to say, I forgive you and I forgive myself, and how we need to show the world that we are peacemakers. How would you like to be in some of those people's shoes? Ooh. They show on TV this and that, and you know, you can turn things so they don't look just right. And they show this picture of this car and this and this, and they show this and this and this and this, and you don't say one word in protection of that brother, you are guilty. Oh, how we need to say, we're sorry. How we need to say, I repent of not showing peace, of support, of understanding, of love. How we need to admit we are wrong at times and go on. How we need to say, I'm sorry, and how we need to be able to receive that from someone. Jesus says, and they came to Him and said, how many times do I have to forgive this nut? He's done it to me 7 times. And Jesus says, 7 times 70, 490 times. The guy starts to walk away, and Jesus says, a day! See, that's what the gospel of Jesus Christ is all about. How hard it was for me to deal with this woman every day and every day now for a few years. Swearing and cussing and carrying on. And I'd say, sister, shut up and sit down. How many times I wanted to take her by the scruff of the, and just bounce her out. You know what I mean? It's the grace of God that kept me from doing it. And her 8-foot husband. Ha ha ha. That's another thing I think we have very little of, is a little bit of humor. We try to look so religious, and we try to, oh golly, and we can thump our Bibles and run up and down the stage, and we can point our fingers. Well, let me tell you, God knows you. You can play act all you want to. Huh? In the end, boy, we're all going to be naked before God, so you might as well just tell the truth. I'll tell the truth. I'm a sinner saved by grace, nothing more, nothing less. I'll tell you something else. If you aren't a sinner, you won't even make it to heaven, because Jesus says, I came to save sinners. Yeah, preachers, you can bang on your Bibles all you want to. You're no better than the rest. No, you're not. I don't care what kind of works you do. So many times people will come up and say, oh, if anybody is ever going to go to heaven, it's going to be you. I says, what for? I mean, special for passing out these tomatoes or something? Do you ever think maybe I ain't got nothing better to do? I'm just praying God will give me pumpkins. Some way you got to deal with these things, don't you? Oh, God. Peace! You got to learn how to listen to the Lord. So also peace is dependent upon obedience. And of course then to obey God, who must first hear Him. And so peace is always connected with holiness. And you know what holiness is? Holiness is to listen and then obey to the best that is within you. Simply obey the best that you know how. And don't get into a guilt trip. See, people get on guilt trips. Well, I obeyed God, but did I obey 100%? Did they just sit there in a great big bawling, great big... You ever seen somebody that bawls all the time? They got these eyes that look like one of these birds with no feathers that dropped out of a tree. I want to serve God. I just want to serve. Well, get up and serve Him then. I know, but I feel like a failure. You are a failure outside of God. Get up. How would you like it if your own child would sit there? I'm sitting there, and here's your kid. Huh? Just a young child, 40 years old or so. I failed! Huh? Wouldn't you tell him to get up and go to work and stop going to school all the time? Always learning, but never coming to know anything? The Bible says, how do you know Jesus? You're always learning, but never coming to know God. Because you know how you come to know God? By doing something. Do you know how that your child comes to know something? By putting that which he's learned in college and 40 years of it to work. Wouldn't that irritate you? You had a child that wouldn't do anything. It was always bawling and always complaining and always asking for something. And that's where it is now. People are always asking. Ask largely. I heard someone say, ask God largely. Don't be afraid. Walk boldly into the throne rooms of God. Kick open the swinging doors. Okay, God, I'm asking largely according to your word. And they sound like Captain Hook. How'd you like it if your kid came in, busted open your bedroom door? Hey! Old man! Now I'm going to ask you wisely, because I'm your son, see? Huh? Would you like that kind of treatment? Well, God doesn't like it either, and that's wrong preaching. Totally wrong. That's what people tell people to do. Walk in boldly and tell, listen, according to your word, your promise. Promise number 6,910 of the 7,000 promises that I can find. There's stipulations to that. You promise your kid a car when he's 15 and goes out and wrecks 15 of them. Are you going to give him a new car when he graduates? I say no. Huh? You know how many nincompoops are out there asking for favors all the time? Ooh. And so I think a lot of times we don't have peace as Christians because we're not listening to God. If you're listening to God, He might say to your stormy self, "Hush, be still, O windy, stormy person." You say, "I can't retain my peace." I say, "Turn from your folly, which shows they once lived in sin, loved it, and followed it with all of their heart." So there's something you might be doing wrong, you're listening. And you're just going after it tooth and toenail, and you won't let go of it. But then sometimes we look at this, and then in our own lives, we did a change, we did a turnaround. What does that mean, repent? It means simply turn around and turn to God. Doesn't mean, a lot of times now there's popular preaching like this too. Repent. Say, "Do you think he really repented?" Who knows? "I think he really repented. I mean, he grabbed a hold of the rag rug and he chewed on it and he bawled and he cried I think he really did. I mean, it was very convincing to me. And he crawled up to the altar. He crawled up there. Oh, and he crawled all the way up to the altar, bawling and crying and screaming and crying, and looked around to see who was watching. After I first got saved and I was baptized in the Holy Spirit and I went to my church, they said, "Oh, well, we can't have you in here if you do those kind of things." I said, "Oh, okay." I didn't want to argue about it. I was glad to get out of there. I was looking for an excuse anyway. "Oh, okay." Didn't even ask him why or anything. I just left. And I always noticed there was one guy in there. I said this before. I have to say it because it just comes to my mind. He was always, I just wondered if he's still bawling. I never saw this man, but he was bawling. Finally, I asked him, like, "What'd that guy do? He's always crying all the time. Did he murder somebody? Is he having a nervous breakdown? What's wrong with him?" "I used to have those nervous fits when I was a drunk. What's with this guy?" I mean, then he'd just pop out of that and he'd just be, "Praise God, brother." He'd walk out like nothing happened. You know what I'm talking about? No, repentance means you just turn around. You know you're going the wrong way. Let's say you got in an argument with somebody. And you just, "Oh man, I can't stand you. I don't want to see your face." Huh? Maybe you got to repent. How do you repent? You turn around. It doesn't mean you're going to be bosom buddies with this person. It means you're going to say you're sorry. As much as is within you. You aren't going to get along with all people perfectly. How many have found that out? You don't get along with everybody. And if you keep bugging them, they're liable to kill you. Yeah, so just say you're sorry and get out of there. No, it means simply turning around, having a change of heart, and saying, "God, help me to grow." Well, you say, and I hear someone saying on the radio even now, "I see evil men with peace and good men with little peace." Well, that is a mystery. And you know why it is? It's because they don't think and they don't reflect and they don't consider and they don't intend to look about them and they don't intend to look before them, and they are like blind men. You ever been around somebody that have peace and might be someone that's just totally out of it, but they have peace? And you say to yourself, "You know what? It seems like I had more peace when I was in the world. Before I got saved, I had more peace than I have now." That's because you don't want to change now. Are you hearing this? "Seems like I had more peace." I said that. How many have said that to yourself? I have. When I first got saved, you never said that to yourself? "Seemed like it was easier before I got saved." Well, you know what? I think that's carelessness in its highest form, and it'll only lead us towards hell. Yeah, and I mean not after you're saved, but before you're saved. And I think there's some that quiet their conscience by their worldliness. Now, I used to get busy in my business. I attended my business, and I didn't pay attention to anything else, and it became my God. Just like Adam was lost in the garden, I was lost in my business. Men are lost in their shops, in their warehouses, in their garages, in their ships, in their farm, in their stock market, and they give no thought of the world to come. They're so busy. And so from this kind of peace, I would pray that all you that are listening on the radio here be delivered from that. Then we have some people that have a pretty tough conscience. They can do about anything and go right to sleep at night. I can't do it. Something's bugging me. I'll wake up at 1:30, 2:30, 4:30. Then when it's time to get up, I can sleep like a dog. Of course, none of you know what I'm talking about, do you? You get peace, and the devil gives you peace right at when you're supposed to get up, 6:30. And you can lay down and you got perfect peace. Do you ever do that? I do. You know what to do? There's something you got to deal with. And you don't have to deal with it so it's totally solved. You have to start to deal with it and say, Lord, begin to give me peace on this thing. And then maybe about 5:30 you can go to sleep. Have a good hour in there, see? But peace comes like that. You learn to live with pressure and you learn to live with turmoil and persecution and nakedness and peril and sword, and you learn how to live with those things. And you know what? It's how you react in those things that's going to be the end result. It's not so important that you're in a trial or you're in a tribulation, because the Bible says you will have trials and you will have tribulations in this world. Rejoice when they persecute you and say all manner of evil against you for my name's sake, because great is your reward in heaven. And when you get that down, when you start to have peace. You know, when Satan, and I'll close this message, when Satan is in full possession of a man, then no disturbing thoughts come in, and the sinful heart is well content. Maybe you're out there and you're not born again, and you have peace. Look out for it sometime. Maybe you're not in trouble like other men. Maybe you're not plagued like other men. And sometimes they even die at peace. For the psalmist complains, there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. And so it says in the end that Satan has filled them with a strong delusion to believe a lie. And so in peace they perish. They go willingly to destruction like sleep, like sheep to the slaughter. How many in this world are just like that right now? I just did a wedding. And in the wedding, I ministered the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to tell you, the gospel of Jesus Christ is sharper than any two-edged sword. And it always does. The word never comes back void, spent, and falls to the ground, but it does what it's fashioned to do. And the hearts were pricked in that audience. And people were asking questions. I had the salvation prayer, and people left. People, I'm talking about, there were Jewish people there. There were all kinds of people there. And they were quickened in their spirit by the gospel message. Oh, how we need to give out the gospel message and believe that it will do what it's supposed to do. Then we have some that have a piece of sullenness. An awful, awful piece of despair. Maybe you're on the radio and you're listening to me and you're saying, well, I know I'm lost. I've sinned beyond all mercy. Maybe you're in Stillwater right now. Maybe you're hiding in some mental institution. Maybe you murdered someone. Maybe you're saying, why should I trouble myself anymore? And that's a lie of Satan. As long as you're still breathing, there is hope. You know something, you out there, like I say, maybe you're in a mental institution. God alone can give you peace. When the soul begins to feel its sinfulness, only God can speak peace to it. Ministers can't. Books can't do it. Did you ever have something bothering you and you go down into the bookstore and you start buying books? When you first got saved, did you buy a lot of books? Huh? How many bought a lot of books when they first got saved? Oh, you had this book and that book. And then you'd say, okay, now what does this mean? Then you'd get, you're all nervous and trembly. You listen to some kind of preacher, and he had a real lot of legalism. So then you went and got off. Oh, you want to get consecrated, and you want to get this, and you want to, and what's this mean? What's that mean? And then you read about the unpardonable sin. How many read that? And then it just freaked them out for about 2 months. And people said, oh, the unpardonable sin, I think I committed it. You know what the unpardonable sin is? The unpardonable sin is when you don't receive pardon. You didn't receive it, so it's unpardonable. Does that make sense to you? If you don't receive pardon, if you don't receive the blood of Jesus Christ for the atonement for all of your sins, past, present, and I'll say it, and it's just the way it says, past, present, and future. Oh, now you're telling people they can go out and sin in the future. They will. I don't have to tell them. God knows they're going to. I'll remember your sins, plural, no more. It's the only way you're going to make it to heaven is by God covering your sins forever. Well, I'll show you I won't sin. It's a good thing God does have mercy. Everybody go to hell. Is that right? You know, every time, let's say that every time you sinned, a bell went off, wouldn't that be a lot of noise going on? Even the preacher, he'd be up there preaching and ding dong! Huh? All right, ding dong! He couldn't even get a word out. Now, ministers can't bring you that peace. Books can't do it, and tapes can't do it, and friends can't do it, and wives can't do it. Husbands can't, parents can't do it. You ever felt real down and somebody tries to speak peace to you? You know the word of God. Peace. Peace. This is like they're talking to a dog. Sit. Sit. Huh? You can't train somebody into peace. Roll over. Peace. Peace. Peace! I mean, people go nuts. I was at a meeting, it was a Pentecostal meeting, and I first got saved, and they wanted to get this woman baptized in the Holy Ghost, and so they started shaking her. He said, okay, start saying some words. Ooh, and they were shaking. There, you got it. There, hear that? She went out of there, and they totally wrecked her peace. Wrecked her wig, too. There's so much nonsense going on, I don't believe it. There's so much shim sham going on, I don't believe it. I used to tell the evangelists when they come up, see, they just lay down there in Florida all winter, see, and get all tanned and nice. Then they come up and they fleece the northerners during the summer, see. Come in when these real heavy. They fly and they drop their bombs and leave, see? And you have to live with these people after the evangelist has left. Crusaders. See, it's pretty easy to go in and drop your bomb. See, I was an evangelist. And it's pretty easy to go in there and drop your bombs, and then here's this poor preacher sitting there, see? Huh? He's sitting there. And all these people are, oh, we've done wrong. We've done wrong. Oh, that was so good. Praise God that God brought you to us. Oh, and then here's the preacher sitting there. Well, they didn't say much for him. Is he dead? Is he cardboard or what? Oh, we really needed this. Oh, huh? I ministered at a meeting, and they got into all that wailing and carrying on. I said, folks, here's a preacher over here, He's been doing everything for you people he can possibly do. Why don't you just tell him you're sorry for being such stinkers? I discern a stink in here. You need to, I mean, my discerners were on, you know, those little... And you know what? They had a weeping good time with that preacher. I think each evangelist that goes out should just give a little bit of credit to that poor little preacher that stuck with those same people for 10 or 15 or 20 years. Huh? Do you think so? I do. I know. I had a church out in the suburbs. I know. God delivered me and put me down here, and I don't have any people to deal with hardly. I got delivered. See, I'm pretty easy to listen to on the radio because you can turn you off. And I praise God for the radio audience, and praise God for you guys coming here tonight. And I know you're listening out there. Are you from the radio too? Young man? No, you're not. Okay. But I praise God for the radio audience. It's what keeps this ministry going. Certainly the amount of people we have here doesn't keep it going. Oh, God, we've got so much to learn. Now, peace. Jesus said, hanging from the cross, it is finished. Jesus did it all. Hush, be still, listen, and know that I am God. Give me your guilt. I bought it all with my blood. Give me your sorrows and your sickness. I've made peace for you. I paid it in full. And now peace I give unto you, not as the world gives, but as I give. And fret not if you have a temporary loss of peace. I will speak peace to you. And oh, what a peace. Are you depressed? Are you depressed? I'm closing. Are you depressed out there listening? Then reason with yourself. Why art thou cast down, O soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Don't let the devil rob you of your peace. All things, it says, are working together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. You can have that deep, lasting peace, a high peace, a broad peace, an endless peace, and it's all ours. Who shall lay charge against God's elect? Nobody. Lastly, saints, do not turn again to your folly. Don't sin and run from God, but run to him and trust him. The minute you do something wrong, don't run away from God. Don't hide. Don't fig leaf. Run to God. And don't misjudge God. Because in the long run, his plan is so pure and so right on. Don't quarrel with God. Why this or why that or, oh, I mean, I'm fed up and so on. Don't doubt and don't distrust. Be satisfied with God's decisions in your life. Don't return, it says again, to your folly of the intellectual speculation. Why you lost friends and why you lost this and so on. Like, don't speculate. Because there is a worse folly, and that's depending upon yourself. Throw that Jonah overboard. If you paid for the ride, still throw that Jonah self over the side. Throw your sin overboard. Find your peace with God by listening. Listen today. Just listen to God. Hush, the Bible says, be still. And what is your folly, by the way? Maybe it's not listening. Throw it overboard. And God will put you back to work. Oh, how we need to be busy doing the work of the Lord. It's my message. Anybody listening out there doesn't have Jesus as their personal Savior? Well, what are you waiting on? There's no kind of peace you can have outside of receiving the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the gospel message. And after all, that's what preachers are supposed to be preaching. We're not supposed to be getting into politicking. We're not supposed to be getting into gossip and tearing one another down. We're supposed to be speaking peace to the world. What kind of peace are we showing the world? Huh? Oh, how we need to get back to the grace and mercy and forgiveness of the Lord Jesus Christ and keep it simple, stupid. That's what the Lord spoke to me a long time ago. He says, Paul, keep it simple, stupid. exact words. And the simple gospel is so wide and so high and so deep, you can't get over, you can't get around, and you can't get under it. You got to come in at the door. And the door is the Lord Jesus Christ. Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. In the original Greek, I will give you peaceful rest. You want that kind of peace? Well, you got to go for it. Everybody's saying, well, why don't you go for it? Why don't you go for peace? It's right there. All you got to do is turn yourself in. Say, God, I need peace. I'm so glad that I gave myself over to the Lord. Now I have peace. I don't have the alcohol shakes. I don't have... I was just thinking the other day how great... Now, I've hurt this arm, and now the pain is going from it. It was so... I thought, oh, praise the Lord. I spoke to the Lord last week. It was so much painful, I couldn't even get it down. Like, I strained all these muscles lifting. And oh, God, it hurt so bad. Now the pain is going. And I thought, I've got to give God glory for this. Feels so good. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I had my eyes closed, and I was thanking God, and I ran right into the TV with my toe. Now I got a bad toe. I think I broke my little toe. I got something else to seek the Lord about. God, I just thank you for these beautiful people here tonight. And I just ask that you bless each one with peace like a river, joy like a fountain, love like an ocean. In Jesus' name, amen.
That was the conclusion to episode 269. That was part two to peace. If you missed part one, just go to www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com. And there you will find all of Pastor Paul's podcasts. You're also going to find the show notes, and within those show notes are scripture links, so be sure to check those out. You can join us every Friday for part one and every Sunday for part two of Pastor Paul's podcasts. Next Friday's message, grace. Have a great weekend. We'll see you back here. God bless you.
To England or France, you may like to gamble, you might like to dance, you may be the heavyweight champion of the world, you may be a socialite with a long string of pearls, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Maybe a rock and roll addict prancing on the stage, money, drugs at your command, women in a cage. You may be a businessman or some high degree thief. They may call you doctor, or they may call you chief, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
It may be a state trooper, it may be a young Turk, maybe the head of some bigger TV network. You may be rich or poor, you may be blind or lame, maybe living in another country under another name, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Maybe a construction worker working on a home, might be living in a mansion, you might live in a dome. You may own guns and you may even own tanks, you may be somebody's landlord, you may even own banks, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes,
somebody.
You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
You may be a preacher, preacher, spiritual pride. Maybe a city councilman taking bribes on the side. Maybe working in a barber shop, you may know how to cut hair. And maybe somebody's mistress, maybe somebody's heir. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Might like to wear cotton, might like to wear silk, might like to drink whiskey, might like to drink milk. Might like to eat caviar, you might like to eat bread. Maybe sleeping on the floor, sleeping in a king-size bed. But you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve,
yes, indeed,
somebody.
You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Bobby, or you may call me Zimmy. You may call me RJ. You may call me Ray. You may call me anything, no matter what you say. You're still gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, and it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.